Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world. I'm actually doing this episode from a very remote location. Yes, I am in the Republic of Cape Town. And I'm here to gather some priceless content ahead of the Rugby World Cup, which begins this month. You will have to excuse the slight rugby bias at the moment, but there's been a lot happening in rugby. But we will give the other sports some time to shine as we go along, of course, on the Sports Live podcast. Before we get the conversations I have lined up for this episode going, I want to get into this Apiwe Dianyi doping issue, and I want to tackle it on a factual basis. I will give you my opinion on the matter a little later, but before I do that, I have to give you the facts. So what are the facts? Simply put, Apiwe Dianyi, the Springbok and Lions winger, is fighting for his rugby life. In drug laws, unlike in common law, you are guilty until proven innocent. The A and B samples that came back positive for steroids and metabolites mean that Apiwe now has to prove his innocence. I tried to get hold of his agent Gert van der Merwe to determine what his course of action would be after the B sample came back positive last week, but my calls went unanswered, unfortunately. However, I read in one of the Sunday newspapers that they said they were, and in quotes, investigating everything. A slight recap, shall we? On the 15th of June, Apiwe Dianyi was tested by the South African Institute of Drug-Free Sport, SAIDS, and that result came back negative. Then, on the 2nd of July, just 2 weeks later, they tested him again, and that result is the one that returned a positive sample. This all happened during a time when he was recovering from an injury that kept him out of the Springbok squad for the Rugby Championship. Now, let me pause here to add a little bit of clarity. It is not uncommon for SAIDS to test athletes a couple of times within a short space of time. There is no policy preventing them from doing so. They are well within their rights to test again. It can be 2 days back to back despite the time frame between the tests. So 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 months, it doesn't matter. It's SAIDS' prerogative to do the tests, and the intervening periods are really irrelevant in the matter. Now, on the 13th of August, they informed the player that he had tested positive for the banned substance, and of course, all hell broke loose. 10 days later, the story broke, and Apiwe sent out a statement denying ever taking an illegal substance. He said, and I'll put this in quotes, "I have never cheated and never will. I believe in hard work and fair play." But he also said in that statement, "I want to apologize in advance to my teammates and management at the Lions and Springboks, my friends, my family, for the negative impact this news may have had." Now, before I indulge the conspiracy theorists that are roaming social media at the moment and have decidedly invaded my mentions on Twitter, let's delve into the actual substances that were found in Apiwe's system and what they actually say about Apiwe's chances of, wanting to beat this case. Now, Matandi Noni, is a Diana ball, or D-ball as it's known in the streets. It's probably the most rookie schoolboy steroid you can probably find. It comes in pill form, so it cannot be found in other food substances like beef or anything like that. The substance has a 19-day shelf life in your system, so to speak. So after 19 days, it becomes undetectable. He was also found with methyl testosterone. This one can be found in contaminated supplements. There was also now a third drug, which is LGD-4033, otherwise known as Lingadrol. Now, this is the one that raised a lot of curiosity. It is a non-steroidal anabolic agent. And what does that mean? Well, if D-ball is a scooter, LGD is a Ferrari. It boosts muscle mass just like steroids, but it does so without the side effects of steroids. That means no cardiovascular effects and other such worries. It reduces fat while adding muscle. It speeds recovery from injury and reduces water retention. It does all this and leaves your system and becomes untraceable after just 21 days. Now, I got confirmation from the CEO of SAIDS, Mr. Khalid Khalant, last week that as far as he knew, Apiwe Jantjie was the first professional athlete to test positive for LGD in South Africa. Other high-profile cases around the world include NBA basketball player Joakim Noah and Australian swimmer Shayna Jacks. And for Apiwe to be caught with this highly technologically advanced substance suggests quite a bit. First of all, D-ball and LGD are over-the-counter pills, so they cannot be traced to alternative foods, as I've previously mentioned. A lot of people will point the finger at the supplement endorsement deal he signed in April, but unless he can provide a sample that can go for lab tests, proving that the drugs came from contaminated supplements, it is going to look like he took those drugs voluntarily. Now remember, in the case of positive drug tests and the tribunals thereof, he has to prove his innocence, guys. This is how it goes in drug-free sport. Also, the cocktail of banned substances he was caught with here were all category 1 or class S1 substances, placing them on the list of chemicals that are banned at all times. These substances are never allowed in a player system, no matter what the quantity. Each could possibly carry a 4-year penalty. To be found with all three puts Jantjie in a very, very precarious position. Now, of course, he will have a hearing in the next 3 weeks or so where he can plead his case. He can either maintain his innocence and provide evidence to counter what SAIDS already has, or plead guilty and take a minimum 4-year ban. He is, of course, 25 years old. So if he takes a guilty plea and or if he is found guilty at the tribunal, he will be 29 by the time he was eligible to play professional rugby again. Now, to the conspiracy theorists out there, guys, let me set this straight. This is not witchcraft. I mean that. It's not a joke. Of all the conspiracies that were flying through my Twitter mentions, the allegation that he was bewitched easily has to be the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. But anyway, I just had to put that out there. Also, this is not a race issue and cannot be compared to the trouble Eben Etzebeth is facing regarding an alleged racial altercation in Langebaan 2 weeks back. These two things are really, really unrelated. You can't say that people are out to get a Apiwe, but they've allowed Eben Etzebeth to get on a flight to Japan to the Rugby World Cup. You know, the evidence against Eben Etzebeth and evidence against Apiwe is totally, you know, different in what's come to light. Also, Apiwe tested positive for an illegal substance. Eben Etzebeth was in an altercation, and there's a lot of conjecture as to what happened. So, I mean, to make this then a race issue that there's favoritism to Eben, cut it out, please, guys. It's definitely, these two things are unrelated. Once the evidence is out about Eben Etzebeth's story in Langebaan, then people will start getting into the facts. As for where Apiwe Jantjie got these substances from, well, the onus again is for him to provide the evidence. I mentioned earlier that in April he signed an endorsement deal with a supplements company that was entering the market in South Africa. This is not to say that the substances were actually in that supplement. But if Jantjie wants to use this as a defense, he will have to supply the lab in Bloemfontein with the contaminated sample. Now, a former South African international athlete, whom I won't name, told me that smart athletes don't finish their can or container of powder when they are done with a batch. Instead, they leave a little behind just in case there is some contamination so that they can have enough left for sample testing should anything like this happen. Now, whether or not Jantjie has done this, we really do not know. Great. Now, I will leave the Apiwe Jantjie situation at that. So, there are many variables and many unknowns at this moment, and it is difficult to preempt what will happen in these next coming weeks. But you can rest assured that I will keep you updated with all the developments. And if you've not done so already, please follow me on Twitter. I'm at @smoo_mjikeliso, and I will definitely keep you in the loop about this and other main stories within sport, even if I am in the Republic of Cape Town. Now, let's get to our formalities. Our upset of the week, I will hand this one to Taylor Townsend, who knocked out Wimbledon champion Simona Halep from the US Open last Thursday. And I will stay with the US Open when I hand over my playmaker of the week, which goes to Stanislas Wawrinka for knocking out Novak Djokovic. He is also the Wimbledon champion from the US Open. I know Djokovic pulled up injured, but still, he was on a hiding to nothing at two sets down to Stan, the man.
Guns, an essential tool in self-protection or a catalyst for criminality. CliffCentral.com presents GunCast, a podcast that unpacks the divisive issue of gun ownership in South Africa. Join legal expert Martin Hood as he hosts a series of talks with both sides of the gun lobby. Whether you support the right to carry guns or you believe they're a destructive tool that society could do without, GunCast will enlighten and challenge you in equal measure. Find GunCast now on the Cliff Central app, on CliffCentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now to our special interviews. The Springboks are, of course, preparing for the Rugby World Cup. And before they left for Japan, we caught up with Tendai, the beast, Mutau Harira, who insisted that even though he is entering his third Rugby World Cup as a Springbok, he is not the dad in the camp. And to find out who the dad is, you have to listen to this interview.
Beast, this is the third World Cup for you. Are you saving the best for what should be the last?
Yeah. You never know.
Who says the last?
Exactly. Yeah, who says the last, man? Oh, yeah, man. I'm pretty excited, man. Huge honor, yeah. You know, to be picked, you know, for my third successive World Cup.
Yeah.
I think it never grows old, man, to play for this great team and represent this great nation. So now, yeah, I'm pretty excited, you know, for the next coming few weeks in Japan. So I think for myself, man, obviously either two have been some pretty hard, you know, lessons that I've learned.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, you know, all of that stuff that I've learned, you know, I can add value to this team, this tournament, you know, with my mind, body and soul, man. So yeah, looking forward to it.
What's been behind your gradual and uptake in form? Because in 2018 and 2019, clearly there's been competition between you and Steven, but whenever you've played, you've stamped your authority each game that you've played in.
No, man, it's awesome to have you know, a lot of good front rows coming through in South Africa. I think we're very healthy in the front row currently, and you know, having a guy like Kitsy, you know, to play alongside, it's never about there's no animosity whatsoever, man. It's all about giving you know, our utmost best to the team. So every time when he plays, I support him thoroughly, man, and I can tell you that our relationship has grown a hell of a lot over the last couple of years, man. So it's never about, you know, selfish ambitions or anything. It's all about us becoming the best front row combination in the world, man. So, yeah, for me, it's all about, working on myself, getting better every time I go out there. I've challenged myself, you know, over my career to keep on improving because, you know, the game has evolved. There's new laws and everything. So I've always adapted, man. So, yeah, man. So you got to keep up with the, you know, with the times.
What will be different about this World Cup as compared to New Zealand and England in 2011-2015?
No, I think obviously now, you know, it's pretty open. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that believe, you know, that they can win it. There's a lot of teams, you know, with a chance. So, you know, at the moment, you know, we're underdogs. And it's a nice, it's a nice place to be. So we just have to, you know, speak with our actions out there, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of teams like I say, you know, believe that they can win it. So for us, we're gonna let our actions kind of speak for us, man. And for us, it's all about continuous improvement and getting better every time we go out there and play rugby.
All right, cool. Beast, just the fact that this team is gonna rely maybe heavily on experienced players, then
previous teams you might have been involved with. Of course, 2011 was still stacked with experienced players. In 2015, there was still quite a lot of experience. But this time around, not so many guys have even played in a rugby World Cup. Do guys really come to you and lean on you as one of the experienced members of the team for advice on and off the field?
Yeah, no, certainly. No, the young guys always come and ask one or two questions. So no, it's a huge honor to be a senior player in this squad, to impart knowledge into the next generation. And I think for the lack of experience we lack in terms of the World Cup, I think we make up for it with the enthusiasm we have in the squad, the exciting rugby we're playing at the moment. So I think guys like Herschel, you don't have to say much to him. He just wants to go out there and play rugby and enjoy himself, and that's what it's all about. So when you kind of obviously it's a big stage. But when you kind of take everything away, you still got to go out there and perform. It's still a rugby pitch, and you still got to go out there and do your best. Pretty much what got you into the squad. So that's how I kind of tell them. Just go out there and give it your utmost best, and don't let anything distract you. So, yeah, man, it's a good squad.
Like a real father figure.
Skulk is a father figure. I'm so.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems like the rapport or the environment is very healthy inside the team. From what we hear from the other guys as well, is that guys really enjoy being part of this team, and it's translated to results as well, which is important. Do you feel that this is almost the perfect setting to go out there and play tournament rugby?
Yeah, no, I certainly feel that we've got a lot of positives in this squad at the moment. So, like you say, it's a great environment, and all credit Julie Russi, for creating that environment and bringing back the culture kind of that was missing maybe in a couple of years, And I think as a squad we enjoy each other, and everybody, there's no egos. Everybody wants to do well for the team. Like I said earlier on, between me and Kitsy, it's not about me wanting to start all the time or him wanting to start. It's all about us trying to be the best for what the team needs on the day. So that's what it's all about. And then hopefully we can take that forward and get better and grow. And
finally, that game in Yokohama is hanging like a cloud, and it's getting ever closer. But it seems like this time around, the Springboks have never been more confident going to play the All Blacks because of the last three fixtures, where not only have the box been competitive, but gotten results and put on the performances. How confident are you guys in that you will come back with a good result in Yokohama?
It's going to be a totally different challenge, and obviously, it was great to have three consecutive games against them, where we played well, but now we're not looking much into the past. I guess for us, it's not really looking at New Zealand or anything. It's about focusing on us as a team, looking at ourselves that we want to improve, and we know what we're capable of. So we kind of have, we don't want to be overconfident, but we have confidence, and just got to let our work kind of speak for us.
All right, fabulous.
Sweet, my guy.
That was Etendai the Beast Mtawarira. Now, over the weekend, I was in Durban again for the Murray Cup final, which was played between Durban Collegians and College Rovers. And can I say, it was probably the best club rugby game I have ever seen. Now, I've not seen too many, but definitely that one ranks up there with the best that I have seen, if it's not the best. It also ranks as one of the best finals in rugby that I have ever seen. It went into extra time, there were tries galore, and it needed an Inihatebe kick from the corner to settle. It was incredible. Now you remember Inihatebe, right? Yeah, him from the Sharks of Fly Half, that boyki. He had an amazing game, kicked like a genius, distributed the ball very well, and guess who was also playing there? Our old mate MB Lusaseni, whom we spoke to a few episodes back. That was a brilliant interview. If you've not listened to that interview yet, please go back to Times Live, to our podcast page, go to the multimedia page, to the Sports Live page, and listen to that two-part interview with MB Lusaseni. Your mind will be blown away. Anyway, while I was there at the Murray Cup, I managed to catch up with former Bulls, Cheetahs, and Blitzbox winger Trompi Nonchinga to find out what he's been up to lately. Listen to this fascinating conversation.
The drums. I'm good. Meeting you, catching up with you here in Durban. You've been in Durban for a long time, right? Just tell us what you've been up to since you stopped playing the great game of rugby.
Well, after rugby, I moved from Bloemfontein. I was in Kimberley, sorry, the Greek was. I moved from there to Durban. And I've been here for like 9 years now. So I've been running a clothing brand. We manufacture clothing from scratch. So it's mostly clothing manufacturing, corporate wear, school wear, and all of that. That's what I'm up to.
Yeah.
Running my own thing, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously. And you prefer to be your own man.
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah. How's entrepreneurship treating you?
It's quite tough. It's got its ups and downs. But, you know, the game of rugby actually taught us how to be focused, you know, and also push through. When things are hard, that's when you get harder.
You played in the era of the greatest, what's now considered the greatest Bulls dynasty of the time, to use common language. What was it like for you, Chepe Sepofolo, to A, make it that far in rugby, and to witness that dynasty that I was speaking of, that you played with O'Brien Habana, or Victor Matfield, or Akwananu Nane, or Corey Dupree, or Bakis, you know, those guys.
Yes.
What was it like, bruh?
Yeah, for me it was quite a great achievement, because, you know, the year I arrived at the Bulls, that's just a year before that, they had just won the Currie Cup for the third time.
Mm.
So for me, it was really great, great experience. There were a lot of us there.
Yeah.
It was great competition, very competitive. But it taught me a lot, you know, how to survive around other people at the same time, focus on yourself, hard work.
And you maybe because of the injuries, you had hamstring trouble throughout your career. But you were also a prolific try scorer, right? When you left, did you feel you did everything you could have in the game?
In rugby?
Well,
in everything I do, I give my best, you know, my utmost best, and I've got no excuses. So I gave the rugby everything I had, on and off the field. When I was injured, I put in the work. When I went back into the field, I gave my best. And when I got injured, I always kept positive and came back again.
Yeah.
So I might say I gave everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks, when they think of Trompi Nonchinga, like they really do imagine like a try scoring winger. But you didn't start as a winger. You started as a scrum half.
As a scrum half.
The transition. How was that?
Yeah. Well, my uncle Ralo. To mention him,
Kolegi Lekhalo. Which I just learned, by the way, Kolegi Lekhalo was your uncle.
Yeah, he taught me.
Unbelievable.
Taught me every skill, taught me how to be patient, taught me how to put in the hard work, when not to, and when to rest, and all of those things. You know? So I looked up to him, so I wanted to be a scrum half, but they told me I was very tall. But luckily I could run as well. So my pace and the skill of the scrum half. And then when I got to Bloemfontein, they moved me from scrum half to wing, and it was not a bad transition, but at the same time, you get heartbroken when you're in your comfort zone of loving something that you're doing. I used to love playing in the scrum half position until they moved me, and then I had to learn and get over it, and, you know.
You didn't do too bad as a wing either.
I enjoyed myself at wing. I had more time, more space.
Yeah.
And obviously, everyone is giving you all the responsibilities with other guys. So,
like, there's a lot of opinion, like, out there with regards to Lendwana Uchezlin Colby. Some people saying that he can be used as a second string scrum half, moving from wing fullback. Is it possible, or is it too late in his career?
Well, it is possible. He's he's really a nappy guy. He looks like he can move around quite
yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you see, I don't believe it's the right time now.
Yeah.
It's World Cup time, it's crunch time.
Yeah.
You don't want to be chopping and changing players into positions.
Yeah.
Let those players fit in whatever they in whatever position they were in.
Yeah.
And then after the World Cup, you've got another 4 years to test and play those players in different positions. Right now, I don't think he should there. Wing and fullback is perfect for him for now. Let him do the job. He'll do well. He's a finisher. He's a skillful player. And he's not bad on defense as well. He's proved himself.
Very good on defense.
So I don't think we should really move him to scrum up at the moment.
And squad-wise, what do you think chances box at the World Cup?
I think our hardest pool at the moment, when I say the pool, I mean the team that we will be competing the mostly against, it will be the All Blacks. Not saying other teams are not, I know, will not be strong enough, but you know, obviously, All Blacks are always our competition. So that's going to be our hardest. If we can pull that one off, I believe we have a 98% chance of taking the World Cup. I know that England is looking very well now.
Yeah.
Wales is also looking good. Ireland is looking very good.
Yeah.
But if we beat the All Blacks, because you know, it's always about the All Blacks. If we beat the All Blacks, you can cruise.
Yeah. No, phenomenal, bruh. I really hope we make a good push of it and Sia and the boys do very well. And I hope your textile and clothing business also springs up. You also do kits for rugby teams as well, like Winter Rose as well, you know. So in a way, you're still in the game.
Yeah, I still communicate with the rugby fraternity. And we get some work from a couple of guys. Hopefully, in the future, we'll get a lot of work from all other teams, you know.
Sure,
but obviously, it's all about marketing and getting out there.
Yeah.
And but we're doing mostly corporate.
Right.
At the moment. And obviously, sportswear. We do athletics teams as well, fast feet. And yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, and people thought you were crazy when you wanted to start your own sportswear brand.
Yeah, it's always crazy until it happens. You know, people... You know what I want to say is, people, you always believe in yourself, and try and think further than you are, not think the way you are.
Yeah.
In 2008, when I told the guys I was starting up my own brand and I was gonna run my own thing, and everyone was laughing at me. I think it's about 10 years now.
Yeah,
10 years. 22 machines. We run 2 shifts day and night.
Yeah.
And we deliver.
Yeah, you remind me of a guy you probably would have played with, who the Bulls winger used to have, E, dreadlocks. Why am I forgetting this dude's name? Used to have dreadlocks. John Mametsa.
Yes, Mitsa.
Yeah.
Legend.
He's another one that just went and did his own thing. Retired before he was 30, like yourself, and trying to figure it out in the entrepreneurial space. So it seems like there's something you guys learned in the game that you took, even though many might feel that you could have gone higher in the game, but if you took anything, it is that spirit of self-sustenance and entrepreneurship.
Yes. Look, Ahmed is a great guy. He's very business-minded. I know he told me the story was under his father that he used to have his own taxis and all that. I know a couple of deals that he did at the time when he was still at the Bulls. So Mometa's been quite ahead of his time. Right? I learned a couple of skills from him as well.
Yeah.
But you know, it's very important that we have our own ownership, you know, own our own things.
Yeah.
And that's what I decided, you know. I decided when I was still playing.
Yeah.
So I had to cut my sporting time short so that when I get to this time at over 30, I'm able to sustain myself. And obviously, we've got kids now and we're growing, you know, we're looking after families. So, yeah. And any other guy that's doing what we're doing, you know, I'm proud of them. Keep pushing and let's get better. My mentor is probably making it big on the other side. So.
Yeah, now he's doing well. I even wrote about him in Forbes Africa magazine.
Yeah.
Because I like to promote guys that are doing very well, doing a great initiative, not just a businessman. It helps kids out in the rural areas run electricity. He has these solar powered bags that companies can use as CSI initiatives. And the kids can charge phones, they get solar powered lamps. It's like electricity in a school bag. And in a country like ours, which half the population lives under the poverty line, that's Wow, it's an amazing initiative that John and his wife, their partners, probably his wife does more.
But you know, him and his wife have been very close for a long time. It's great to see. It's great to hear.
Fabulous, man. Great catching
Thanks,
you up
man.
With a legend.
Great to meet you. Like,
great conversation, but I'm sure we'll have many of these.
Thanks, my man. I hope so too.
Oh, yeah.
Bless you.
Yes.
That's it for me, Sbum Jikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Ninawa Mchana Ntoko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live podcast, it's goodbye for now.